Speak about that, Minyana de Yoyma. 3 weeks today, Pesach Hashem is Purim. Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaChag. Gemara says, even 30 days before Purim, one should be Oisik in the Halachos of Purim. Before you get to Purim, there's a mitzvah say Daraisa of Parsha Zoche. 2 weeks time, Pesach Hashem, there's a mitzvah say Daraisa of Parsha Zoche, according to most Rishonim. One has to have in mind, the Mishnah Berurah says, to be yotze the mitzvah svichas kavona. However, there are shittas that hold that Parsha Zohar is not deraisa in the way that we do it. There's a different way of being mekayim in the mitzvah. According to those shittas, Parsha Zohar is a mitzvah rabbana. We are machme that Parsha Zohar is deraisa. However, if a person is mechavan for a mitzvah rabbanon, that he wants to be yotze mitzvah deraisa, he could be over on an issa deraisa of Baal Tosif. If a person is mechavan a mitzvah deraisa, he wants to be yotze mitzvah rabbanon, he could be over Baal Tigra. That's mevuyah in the Rambam, in Hilchos Mamrim, that if a person wants to be mechavan a mitzvah deraisa, he has to know it's a deraisa, not a rabbanon. A mitzvah rabbanon, he has to know it's mitzvah rabbanon and not a deraisa. So, before one is yotze any mitzvah, and many mitzvahs are like this, that there is a machlokas, whether they are midaraisa or midrabanon. One should just have in mind, I want to be yotze the mitzvah, the marshal, the mitzvah parasha zocher. There are many people who say before every mitzvah, an Hashem yichud, and an inni muchun and mazumon, and they say it from the siddur, the sefer, whatever they have. The classical case is the second night of Pesach, where you say the Haggadah, and you say everything from the Haggadah. And before you get to Moitzi Matzah, you say, Hinni Muchnu Azumun Akaim Sasei Deraisa Vachilis Matzah Shanema Ma'arab Tzoich L'Matzahs. And that is Avera. Because the second night of Pesach is not a Mitzvah Deraisa at all, it's a Mitzvah Rabbonon to eat Matzah. The whole Yom Tosheni is a Rabbonon. And if you say you want to be Akaim Mitzvah Deraisa Ma'arab Tzoich L'Matzahs, that's Baal Tosif. Hashem said only one night a year is a Mitzvah Ma'arab Tzoich L'Matzahs. The Chachomim, we have to listen to the Chachomim, they made the second night. So you have to know where you are. Yes, but it's not the mitzvah by Erev Tzoich L'Matzahs. It's a different matzah. Shivas Yomim Matzahs Techeidu. Similarly, in the Machs of the second day Rosh Hashanah, Inni Muchon Akaim Mitzvah Shmias Kodesh Shofar K'moy Shekasa B'Atayra, it says a mitzvah that Raisa to be Yotzah. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, even though Rosh Hashanah is more Chomor L'Gabba the second day Yontav, as everybody knows, but it's still not a Raisa, it's a Drabonon. Mimela, the second day, Rosh Hashanah, when you're Yotze Mitzvah Shofar, you have to have in mind, I want to be Yotze Mitzvah Rabbanon of Shofar. That's what I said. Even though Yom Tosheni is more Chama of Rosh Hashanah, it's still only a Rabbanon. No, it's still only a Rabbanon. Similarly, and this came out all the Gedolim of the previous generation were Ma'ira this Nekuda. After Pesach Be'ez Hashem, or on Pesach already, we start counting the Mitzvah Sfira Sa'ima. And most people say the Inni Muchan before he counts Sfira Sa'ima, Kamosh Kosba Taira. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Ran, and like most Rishonim, the Mitzvah Sfira Sa'ima Bizman Hazeh is only Midrabana. And if you say, I want to be Kaim Mitzvah Say, of Sfira Sa'ima, Kamosh Kosba Taira, of Svatim Lachem, that can be a Shaila Baal Tosif. So it came out all the postkim with Ma'ira that one has to be careful not to say Kamosh Kosba Taira. Some people on Miyashiv the Nusach, they say it means it's based on the mitzvah Kamosh Kosa Batayra. But one doesn't need to put oneself into sveikas and shyness. You say, Inni Muchon Akaim, mitzvah sphere sa'oima, and that's good enough. Hashem knows what you mean. So that's the first thing to have in mind to be yotze mitzvah parasha zocher. For ladies. Yeah. So you shouldn't say Kemosha Kosa Batayra Sa'atum Lachem, because when we count Sri Sa'ima, we're not doing it Kemosha Kosa Batayra, we're doing it like it says, Lo Sosu Min Adroin, that the Chachamim tell you. That's our mitzvah. Some people say, Al Pi Masha Kosa Batayra. That's okay as well. You can say, Al Pi Masha Kosa Batayra, it's based on what the Torah says, but it's not Kemosha Kosa Batayra. Everybody knows the shaila of whether ladies are mechuyev to hear Parsha Zocher or not. Most poskim hold that ladies are potter. It's a shita yichidah, which nowadays many people are machme-like, that ladies should also hear Parsha Zocher. One has to be extremely careful, though, Like in all mitzvahs, it shouldn't be yotzah schorah be'efseidah. There are many ladies who attack a noshim k'sheris who want to yotzah mitzvah parashat zachar, and they bring their little babies together with them. And because the babies are making a noise, it disturbs other people. The men can not hear, still hear, but the other ladies, it disturbs them because they're already in the Ezra's Noshim, they're higher up or at the back, and they can't hear so well, and the slightest noise can make them not hear at all. That's for sure, that to bring a baby which will disturb even one other lady from hearing is a much bigger aveira than any mitzvah a lady can get by hearing Parsha Zohar. To hear Parsha Zohar, that's just one shitta yichidah, which not everybody is even machmeh like that. It's a nice thing to be machmeh. To disturb another yid can be an issa deraisa, you mitzair another yid, and one has to be extremely careful not to bring small babies there. That goes without saying, a baby which is still not trained, it's also to bring to shul the whole year round, because if chalina, the child is not clean, you can be machshel the whole lady shul wholesale, with an issa deraisa of saying divrei Torah in a place where there's a reach ra, and every body, every elach yid is careful to do mitzvahs and to run away from aveiras. There's one kind of aveira you have to run away like from fire, and that is choyte umachti, because it says that somebody is choyte umachti, rabbim ein maspikim yodi lasas tshuva. Everybody knows it's hard enough doing tshuva when Hashem does help you. And if Hashem doesn't help you, it's a million times harder. Now, if somebody brings a child who's not clean to shul, and he's machshel 10 people, 20 people, saying Divrei Torah and davening and saying Hashem's name in a place where there's a reach ra, they're machtias arabim. If somebody brings a child to shul, a small child to shul, and even in the men's shul, in the middle of quiet shvanesa, he starts crying and disturbing, he's disturbed a whole shul shvanesas, that's a machtias arabim. So, generally nowadays, a person thinks, I'm never Mahdi as a rabbi, and what shakas I have to do with a rabbi? But these are cases which people don't think about, and a person can be a Mahdi as a rabbi just like that. So one has to be very careful. That's a very, you have to run away like from fire. Never to be Mahdi as a rabbi. A person comes into a Beis Medrash, everybody's learning, and he says, have you heard what's just happened? He's a Mahdi as a rabbi, that's wholesale Bittul Torah. A person's own Bittul Torah, you have to settle your account with Hashem, to do tshuva. How are you ever going to tshuva if you're machti as a rabbi, Hashem doesn't help you? And if Hashem doesn't help you, won't betide you. Avada says, in the four amas, for sure, in four amas radius, you can have at least 10 people, if not more. Avada is sometimes you come into a room where there's a child, and as soon as you enter the room, you can smell the reach. And many times a person's in shul and he can smell the child, doesn't know where it's coming from, and it's coming from two rows behind him. So obviously, it all depends on the circumstances, but one has to be extremely careful not to get into a shaila of being machti as a rabbi. Obviously, this is the Parsha Zohar, even where it's a chumrah for ladies to hear. Megillas Esther, it's a chiyuv gomel for ladies to hear Megillas Esther. It's a chiyuv gomel, and for ladies to hear Megillas Esther from Ezra's Noshim, as it is a very difficult thing to do. And if you have a child there who's crying and making noises and pulling chairs, etc., it's going to be 10 times as hard. So that's for sure. Everybody knows that you cannot bring babies to shul for Kriyas HaMegillah. Even without that, the Mishabura brings from the Achronim that they say it's impossible for ladies to hear properly every single word from the Ezra's Noshim. You have to hear every single word of Megillas Esther. Even with the men, the Mishabura brings from Prima Gautim, he says he doesn't know how people are Yotza because everybody's banging Haman and the Baal Kora. You have some good Baal Kriya, they wait till everybody's quiet, and then they continue, or they repeat the last word as well. Masha Ein came, there's others who like in a bit of a rush, and they don't wait, and you just have to miss one word. If you miss that one word, you've lost the whole Megillah. So, for ladies, generally, the only answer to be really Yotz the Megillah Kedos is to either go to what they call the ladies' minyanim, a special minyan for ladies, or the husband lanes for when he gets home. That's really the only way of guaranteeing that you yotza, unless a lady is sure, she sits right at the front desk of the Noshim, she hears every single word. There is one other Eitzah, which if it doesn't work out, there's no ladies' menu you can go to, and it doesn't work out for the husband today. This Eitzah is for men also. It's extremely nogeh every single year, and it's the most important thing you need to know about Megillas Esther. If one misses out a word, which can happen to anybody, it can happen to the best of people, even when they're not banging home on, sometimes you can just lose yourself for a second, you missed out one word, and Kol Shekein, if there was banging, and you missed out a word, what do you do? So the halacha is that up to half the Megillah, you're allowed to read Ba'al Peh. What does Ba'al Peh mean? Not from a kosher Megillah. So if you missed out any words of the Megillah from the Ba'al Keira, the ace is you say it yourself. And for this case, it's better a person should be following from a normal Chumash than from a kosher Megillah. Why? Because if you're learning from a kosher Megillah, you might not read the word properly. If instead of Oymed you said Omad, Yoshev, Yoshav, you're not Yotzer, because you change the tense, you change the meaning, and you're not Yotzer. Even Megillas Esther, where we're not so medactic on the mistakes, but it says if you changed the pshat of the word, you're not Yotzer. So somebody who's confident that he knows all the Nekudas of Megillas Esther, Baal Peh, then he's better off having a kosher Megillas Esther and saying it from the beginner. Then he didn't even say one word Baal Peh. That's the best thing. But most people, and Kol Shekein ladies, that's for sure, they cannot be sure they're saying the word right. Mimena, the best thing is to have a chumash. When you miss out a word you didn't hear from the Baal Keira, say it from the chumash. When one says something from the chumash oneself, you have to be careful about 2 points. The first one is important, and the second one is extremely important. The first one is, the halacha is, according to many poskim, that when one says Megillas Esther, one has to be mashmia la'oznov. What does mashmia la'oznov mean? It's not good enough to just mouth it. You have to say it loud enough that your ears can hear it from the mouth to the ears. Not through your brain, but from the mouth to the ears. Every mitzvah, krishma, b'chamozen, etc., L'chachila, it's a mitzvah to be mashmir la'osnov. However, by Megillas Esther, there are those who hold it's even ma'akev to be mashmir la'osnov. So the first thing is, you say a word that you missed out, be careful mashmir la'osnov. At the same time, being careful, you don't disturb your next door neighbor, because if you say it loud, he'll be missing words. So, you say it, you put your hand over your mouth, so only you can hear it, but you should try and be mashmir la'osnov. That's important. What's extremely important is something which is ma'akiv in the whole Megillah. Ha'kireis ha'megillah le'mafreya lo'y yotza. That's a Mishnah, everybody knows that. If you read the Megillah backwards, you're not Yotza. It doesn't mean if you started Dovish Shalom Chol Zara and you turn the pages backwards. Any word said out of place is called reading it backwards, called reading it le'mafreya. Le'moshel. At the very beginning of the Megillah, Vayihi b'meach Hashveirosh, and obviously, like in most shuls, Vayihi, there's so much chair ruffling, is you missed out, you didn't hear from the Baal Keira the word Vayihi. You just start hearing b'mei. It doesn't help you to say Vayihi, because then it's like you said, b'mei Vayihi Hashveirosh, because you're b'mei from the Baal Keira, Vayihi from yourself, and Hashveirosh again from the Baal Keira. That's no good. That's called reading it backwards, b'mei Vayihi. What do you need to do? You need to say up to the Baal Keira and even overtake him by one word. Because as you're overtaking him, he's also saying something. So the marshal, in our case, where you missed Vayihi, so you say Vayihi b'me'ach Hashveirosh, and then by that time you coincide with his Hashveirosh, and you continue after that hearing from him. If you miss out any words during the course of the whole Megillah, you say that word plus another one or two words till you overtake the Baal Keira by one word, and then you go weiter. That's extremely, extremely important, because if you say one word of Mafriya, you're not yet to the whole Megillah. Mimena, if you missed out a word, you say it from the Chumash, or from a Megillah if you're confident that you know it, and you're Mashmir La'oznov, and the most important, that you say another one or two words till you overtake the Baal Keira. Even if you have a Sofik, if you missed out a word, you should also do it, because it happens every year, people come and asking Shailas, I'm not sure if I heard this word in Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, I'm not sure if I didn't, I was thinking the whole time, what do I have to do? What do you have to do? You have to, next time, when you're up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Gimel, then think of the Shaila, not when you finish the Megillah. And when you have the slightest Sofik, say the words right there and then you'll be Yotza. Up to half the Megillah, you're allowed to say Baal Peh. In fact, there was a story a chava of mine told me some many years ago, about 20-30 years ago, that he was laying in the Megillah at home for his wife, and in the middle she suddenly had contractions, and he had to rush to the hospital. She gave birth, and the second half of the Megillah she read from a chumash in the hospital, because it was in such a matzav, he couldn't come with his Megillah to the hospital. So she finished off the second half of the Megillah from a chumash in the hospital, because it was only less than half, and up to half the Megillah you can say Baal Peh, and that's exactly what she did. So, it doesn't matter. Even Shalkadei Digimah Eskula with the Eved Yoyotza. So obviously we're not talking about the optimum case. You're not supposed to plan having a baby in the Megillah Zesta, but one has to know this halacha, that up to half one is allowed to say Baal Peh, and if you missed out any word, even one letter, it can sometimes be one letter, it makes a difference whether you're Yotze or not. So quickly chaparayim, and say that word plus another few words, till you overtake the Baal Kaira, and then you'll be Yotze. This is extremely important for everybody, even more important for the ladies, because with them it's very difficult to hear. Well, it's if you look in the Megillah, Sheilosi Bakoshosi, Kan Chatzia Megillah Bepsukim. There's a suffix in the Shagas area. How do you reckon half the Megillah? Is it half words, half letters, half Pesukim? So it's a bit difficult to know exactly where it's half. If you're from Perek Zion and onwards, you must stamma safe. If you're Perek Vav, you're just on the borderline.
If somebody needs to be excused on the last quarter of the Megillah, he went out of shul, and he carried on himself afterwards.
Yeah. So obviously, if a person has opportunities here from a kosher Megillah, that's for sure the best thing. We're just saying, b'di'evet, most people don't have a kosher Megillah available to them. And b'di'evet, your yotze baal peh. Of course, if you have the opportunity to read from a kosher Megillah, that's the best thing. We're talking about a lady who doesn't have a Megillah, or a man who doesn't have a Megillah. Then one has to know this halacha, up to half you're allowed to learn Baal Peh. This is extremely important also to tell the girls, because there are ladies, they know that to go to a ladies' minyan. The girls, why shouldn't they go to shul like everybody else? And especially young girls, they're already bas mitzvah, they're as mechuyev as any adult. And they're not so sure if they heard a word, and because the young girls, they don't have so much achrayas sometimes, so it has to be impressed very well by your daughters, by the girls, that if they have the slightest sofit that missed a word, they should say it, be mashmir la oslov, and overtake the Baal Kaira, and have in mind to be it with their kriya. Since ladies are mechuyev in kriyas ha-Megillah like men, there's an issa to eat before laying the Megillah. Ladies also have this issa. Now, many ladies, Purim morning, they wait till the husbands come home, and they have breakfast, and then they hear the Megillah. That is asa. You're not allowed to eat before the Megillah. There are two kinds of eating. There's achila, and there's te'ima. What is achila? What is te'ima? Achila is either bread or cake, a kebetza plus. Any more than a kebetza, that's called achila. Less than a kebetza of bread or cake, or any other kind of food, da'ainu, ha'etz, ha'adama, sha'akal, potatoes, rice, even though rice is mazonas, but it's not one of the chamesh min yadagon, or any other kind of food, or have a drink of it, coffee or tea, that's called te'ima. The halacha is, achila is osa l'kula alma before hearing Megillah. Te'ima, l'cha'achila, the minig in all the achronim say, is we also conduct ourselves that te'ima is also asa before Megillah, unless it's a shah sadchak. That means a lady's feeling a bit weak, even a man is feeling a bit weak. Then, before davening, you can have your coffee. But once you've davened and you're up to Megillah, you shouldn't even have a te'ima before you eat the Megillah. This can be Motzah Tainis Esther, when you have Purim straight after Tainis, so people are hungry. So generally there isn't even time, because you go straight through Ma'ariv and then the Megillah. But if a person would want to eat, so, or if a lady wants to eat, a lady who fasted, and she wants to eat achila, to wash and have bread, or even just have cake, that's asa. If a lady is feeling shvach, Motzah Tainis, she could have a te'ima, she could have a drink, she could have some potatoes, some rice, some fruit, etc., vegetables, but not cake, and not bread, a kebetza or more. this is special. This is a special hatter before Shachris, and since before Shachris it's muta, so it's muta even as before Megina. Yeah. Then we get to the mitzvahs hayoim. Everybody knows there are three mitzvahs hayoim: matanas yevyonim, mishloach manos, and the suda. There are many, many halachas. We'll just mention a few halachas which are maybe the most noga. Matanas yevyonim, there's a big shaila, what is the shiur of matanas yevyonim? And the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Ritva one shiur, others say different shiurim. But what is most important to know is the Rambam. The Rambam says that one has to give matanas yevyonim and one has to send mishloach manos. V'chol ha'ma'abe l'shloach l'reim, harei zeh mushubach. The more friends you send to mishloach manos, you're more praiseworthy. However, the Rambam adds, and this is a very important and famous Rambam, that it's a much bigger mitzvah to be ma'abe in matanas yevyonim than to be ma'abe in mishloach manos. Ki ein sham simcha g'daylo mufayara. There's no greater and better simcha in the eyes of Hashem Kaviyachol than to be mesameach the leiv ha'aniyim v'omnolim. That is a much bigger mitzvah. If one takes his Rambam literally, what it means is a person should check his budget that he's set aside for Purim. He's set aside £75 for his Purim mitzvahs. So according to this Rambam, if you take it literally, £38 of that should be for Matanas Yevyonim, and the rest should be divided amongst Mishloach Manos and the Suda, because the Rambam says you should be ma'abe more in Matanas Yevyonim than Mishloach Manos and your Suda put together. Mimeila, roiv of your Purim budget should be going for Matanas Yevyonim. So far one cannot say that's a chiyuv, but that is the idea which Hashem is pleased with, and Hashem would prefer it than spending more money on expensive shlachmonoses, etc. To give more than you would give for mishloach manos and the suda, you should give it to matanas yevyonim. No, it's a very good place to give your tzedakah to. Matanas yevyonim is for poor people. For the poor people, right. Unfortunately, unfortunately, there are still Evyon. Until Mashiach comes, there will be poor people everywhere. And there are people who don't have what to eat in the week, never mind Shabbosos. And they don't have clothes to fit out the children, etc. Everybody knows in every community, there are Elcha Gaboy Tzaka, who they make it their business to find out about such people and to help them in the times of need. So you go to your Elcha Gabbat Staka and you say, I want to give this for Matanas Yevyonim.
Is it better to give one aniyim for Sudas Purim or to give 10 aniyim?
It's better to give 10 aniyim, divide your money amongst 10 different aniyim. But this is the famous Rambam. The Rambam says if a person wants to give a certain amount of Staka, it's better to divide it amongst a number of aniyim. Right. Plus, there's another reason, because sometimes you give it to a poor person, and one cannot always be sure that he fits the criterion of being an Evyon. Some people make out as if they're poor and they're not poor. Others make out as if they're not poor and they are poor. If you divide your money amongst more Evyonim, you're more likely to hit the jackpot and get the right oni. Many people, they spend a lot of money on Mishloach Manos, on things which you're not yet Mishloach Manos with, the outside, wrapping and all sorts of decorations and themes, etc., which that's not really a mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Whereas when you give matanas yevyonim to the poor people, it's 100% staka. The ani has hana from all the money that you give. So b'meina, the best thing is the more you can give to the poor people, the better. That is.
If I take my £38 by charity voucher the week before Purim and give them out on Purim, my yotzeh on Purim matanas yevyonim.
If they could be redeemed on Purim for money. If he doesn't have to go to the voucher organisation, if he's got a neighbour and the neighbour says, you give me your voucher and I'll give you the £5 or whatever cash for it, that's okay. It has to be something he can redeem on Purim. If it's, it doesn't matter. If you give him money, he doesn't have to spend this on Purim. It has to be something that it's possible. The marshal, if it's only redeemable at the organisation and the organisation says the big letters closed on Purim, that's no good. It has to be that he can redeem it for money on Purim. You could give him a cheque also, if as a way of redeeming the shtekel for him.
It's a few days before it gets to
him. Right. So, but if he has a neighbor and the neighbor says, "You give me your check and I'll give you the cash for it," so the main thing is this redeemable on Purim for money? If it is, then you yotza. That is the mitzvah of Matanis again. The mitzvah Mishloach Monos. Everybody knows you have to give two monos to one person. That's the minimum. And like the Rambam said, we mentioned before, you don't just send to one friend; you send to a number of people. Obviously, one has to be mekayim every mitzvah with seichel. Some people they send shlach monos to somebody, and the recipient all he gets from shlach monos is a headache. Who can I get rid of this to? You send him things that he hasn't got what to do with. The whole idea of sending shlach monos is not to give Yana a headache or worry what he's going to do with your shlach monos. It's to be ma'abereos. So you have to send something he's going to enjoy. Since, as everybody knows, Purim is exactly 30 days before Pesach. If you send people too much chametz, they don't have what to do with it. So, obviously, it would be a clever idea to send him something that is not chametz. You can send bottles of wine, you can send packaged goods which are not chametz, cans of fruit, etc. Kinds of things which they both keep, and they're not chametz. It's roy to eat on Purim. It has to be roy to eat on Purim, but he's not mechuyav to eat all his shlach monos on Purim. You cannot eat every shlach monos even if you wanted to. It has to be that it's roy to eat on Purim. You can send him a bottle of wine, and you send him some canned fruit, or some other things which are sai not chametz and sai they keep. That is the best thing to do. There are some people who they have their special fish, their special cakes, and everybody who they want to send shlach monos to suffers being the receivers of their special fish and their special cakes, and sometimes the real receiver is the dustbin. So one has to be careful. It causes baltashes as well. There are some people who they have relatives, friends, neighbors, who every year they know, right, I get my challahs for the suda from neighbor Mr. Ploini, and I get the fish from Mr. Ploini. But if it's not something that you know that this person is relying on you, you obviously, if you think for 1 second, nobody is waiting to buy the challahs and the fish for the suda till you send the shlach monos 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Obviously, they bought it before. And if you also send them fish, they cannot eat two lots of fish or eat two lots of challahs. Something's going to happen to them, and it's not going to be eating. So, if you have a relative, a sister-in-law, but you know she likes your challahs, your fish, your kugel, etc., all well and good. But otherwise, if you don't know, you're best off sending some which is a packaged good, and which keeps, and it's not chometz, and then that person will have an hour from it. The biggest mitzvah of Mishloach Monos, if somebody really wants to do it in the best way, is to send to somebody who nobody else sends to. There are some people who, it's not a nice word to say, but they're nebuch people. They're people, they don't have really any friends, and not really any relations, and you meet them and you say good morning, that's the only people that have spoken to him the whole day. These are the kinds of people you have to send Mishloach Monos to. You cannot imagine what difference it makes to their day, to their whole Purim, and it keeps them going for who knows how long. Is if you have a neighbor who he lives by himself, or even if he's married, but he doesn't really have any friends, send it to them, make them happy, and that's be the biggest mitzvah. The mitzvah of Mishloach Monos is to be ma'aber reus by sending a present to him. And if you send to somebody who is getting another 50 shlach monos besides yours, it's very nice to send to him. But you cannot compare it to somebody who gets no shlach monos besides yours. And not only that, the next day he comes to shul and he says, "Do you know who sent me shlach monos? Rabbi Yankel sent me shlach monos." You get such an awe about being able to tell people you got shlach monos on somebody. It's what you call the ripple effect. And you've been mekayim a very big mitzvah. The biggest mitzvah of shlach monos is to send to somebody who not many people are sending to. He's the one who appreciates it. That's where you get your biggest mitzvah. There are people who go a bit overboard with all kinds of themes and decorative wrapping papers, etc. That is, after you've done the mitzvah in the best way, maybe you can add that at the bottom of the list. But that's not the top of the list. The top of the list is to think, how can we mekayim the mitzvah in the best possible way? Oh, there's a Leket Yosha. He was a Talmud of the famous Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadashim was one of the biggest poiskim that's ever been. He was the border between Rishonim and Achronim, and he had this Talmud who wrote a sefer called Leket Yosha, and he brings B'shem his Rebbe. His Rebbe, when he used to get Shtachmonis, he says, I don't have to say thank you. Why? Because thank you means you did me a favor and I'm saying thank you. With Shlachmonis, the recipient is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Without him, you can't do the mitzvah. Mimela, he said, I'm not here to say thank you. But what he did say was, he told the people, I'm not here to say thank you. Because if Yadin gives you the Shlachmonis and you don't say anything, he thinks you're ungrateful. He says, I want to tell you, I'm not here to say thank you. So that way, you've said thank you without being mechuyav to. Then we come to the third mitzvah, that's the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. Everybody knows the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, it's a mitzvah to be ma'abe b'su'udah. One washes, l'chachila, one is mechuyav to have pass. And there's a mitzvah to be ma'abe b'matamim. What does that mean? To have a large variety of dishes. The Gemara says, there was one Amora, he gave 60 different kinds of dishes. That Indian is not only being marabah in the amount one eats, but to show the chashivas of the Suda, you go to a chasna. A chasna can have 5 courses. Why did they do that? To impress upon people, this is a nice, lavish chasna. They have 5 courses, and every course has a few salads at the side or a few other things at the side. When you have a lot of various side dishes, it adds to the chashivas of the Suda. There's an inyan being marabah b'suda, and everybody knows is from that the young ones know it the best. Chayav inish lebesumu bepuria adal yada ben aru hamon lebaruch Mordechai. And there are many, many pshatim on this maim of Chazal. And not only that, there will be even many more. Every year people are mechadish more pshatim. But what is the poshut pshat? The poshut pshat is like this. This pshat, the Taz on the Blat and the Vilna Goen, Biagra, they both say basically the same thing. And we'll add Hagdoma to it, which it already says, not in the Rishonim, before the Rishonim, one of the Goinim, the Shiltas Rav Achoy Goin. The Shiltas Rav Achoy Goin says that the mitzvah of Sudas Purim is a mitzvah of Haidah. That is the mitzvah. It's not just a mitzvah to eat, it's a mitzvah of Haidah, to thank Hashem for the Nisim. The whole Indian of Purim is Pesuma Nisa, to thank Hashem for the Nisim, that's why you lay in the Megillas Esther. And the mitzvah of Sudas Purim is to be moida. Now, when one started the Sudas Purim, so one starts, you sing Shoshanas Yaakov or other things of Shvachos and Hoidois. Meanwhile, a person drinks. When a person drinks, it makes him feel in a better mood to thank Hashem. When a person gets to the stage where he cannot properly be moida anymore because he's become too tipsy, then he is potter from drinking because there's no purpose in his drinking anymore. He has to continue being moida, and if he drinks anymore, he won't be able to be moida to Hashem. He has to stop until he gets back to be able to moida a bit more, and then he can be moida, he can drink a bit more. But the whole theme, as they call it nowadays, of the Sudas Purim is to be moida, shirim u'shvachas v'haidois to Hashem. That's why in Shoshanis Yaakov we say, t'shuvasam o'isul o'netzach v'sikvasam o'chol doi v'doir, etc. And with that, you mekayim the Haidah. There are other Nigunim people sing. There are things that you can say to say over the Nisim. But the whole Yesod of the Chiyuv of Sudas Purim is Haidah. If a person cannot be Moida anymore, so he doesn't have what to do in his Suda. He has to stop drinking till he comes a bit sober, and then he can be Moida again. And that is why the Taz and the Gaon say, when a person, before he started drinking, he was saying, Oraham Baruch Mordechai. What does Oraham Baruch Mordechai mean? It means, thank you Hashem for pulling down Haman, and thank you Hashem for raising Mordechai. That is the nes of Purim. Oraham Baruch Mordechai. It doesn't mean just cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. You're saying thank you to Hashem that you knocked down Haman from his gedula and from his evil intentions, and Baruch Mordechai, not only that, you raise Mordechai to a great height. Not only that, and the Mefarshim say that these two Nisim were not even so sure which is the bigger Nes, because obviously we had to get rid of Haman with his evil intentions, otherwise there wouldn't have been a Mordechai to start off with. On the other hand, the fact that Mordechai was Doiva Shalom Lechol Zarai. He made good takonis to the whole of Klal Yisrael, and he's the one who saved Klal Yisrael, in fact. So maybe that's a big ness to say Haidah. Because a person has started drinking, he cannot have a clear mind, and he doesn't know Binarahon and Baruch Mordechai. So he's not sure what he has to thank Hashem more for, which nes. So that is the Ikka Mitzvah of Suda's prayer. Many people, they get it wrong, they don't realize that is the mitzvah. That is the whole mitzvah. The Shilta says, when he starts off saying the mitzvah Suda's Purim, that the Yidden are chayev to be moida and to say shvachim on the nes of Purim.
Even if it's after Nach.
One can continue till Nach. The Ikka Mitzvah is before the end of the day, means even before Shkia. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Roiv of the Suda should be before Shkia. Which is why many people, they are busy sending Shlachmanis and Matanis Yevyonim, only wash at the end of the day, so the Possum say that's not correct, is even if you're busy, but make sure, Daven Mincha, and wash, let's say, an hour or even 2 hours before Shkia, you can have Roiv of the Suda before Shkia, and then you can continue as long as you want. That is also a difference between the whole world and Yerushalayim. The whole world has Purim.
Roiv of time or Roiv of food.
Because that's the
Ikka Mitzvah. To wash in the morning. So that you make
yes. The Shlach HaKadosh says that Meshabeach Ani, I praise the people who wash in the morning. If you wash in the morning, like many people do, you shouldn't just have, after that, some Weetabix and milk. That's not Suda's Purim. The Shlach HaKadosh says, I Meshabeach the people who wash in the morning, you have some meat, and you have some wine in the morning as well, that should be a Suda's Purim. Then you got off to a head start, as they say. You've been yoked to the Ikka Suda's Purim, you washed, you had a challah, and you had meat, and you had wine, and then you continue sending your shlachmonas and your matonas, your veidim, your dam mincha, and then the big Suda you have later on. But Roiv of the Suda should be before Shkia. In the whole world, Purim is on Yud Dalad Adar. In Yerushalayim, it's on Tesvav Adar. Everybody knows that. That's Shushan Purim over here is the real Purim in Yerushalayim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's a mitzvah to be ma'abe bit besuda also on Tesvav, even for people in the rest of the world to have the real Purim on Yud Dalad, but Tesvav is also a mitzvah to be ma'abe. Therefore, if you stretch your Suda to the night, so you're getting a mitzvah as well, because Leil Shushan Purim is also something. In Yerushalayim, we don't have that, because if we wash before Shkia on Tezvav, Leil Tezayin is already nothing. So we don't get much of stretching the Suda by night. But here, in all other places besides Yerushalayim, you get a bit of a mitzvah by stretching it. But, even so, the Poskim are Madgish, that the Ikka of the Suda, Roiv of the Suda, Roiv of the dishes, that means you should really be after the main course. That's, to put it in a nutshell, you should be after the main course by Shkia. Then afterwards, you can have the desserts, etc., and stretch out the Suda. But once you have the main course, plus the Ikka Shvachim that you say, and the Nigunim that you sing, and the Shevach Vaidor you say to Hashem for the Nes of Purim, that should also be before Shkia. Obviously, you continue afterwards as well. But Roiv of the Suda should be before Shkia, and like we said, the Ikka Inyan of the Suda is the Shevach Vaidor, so that should also be before Shkia. And the drinking of the wine should also be before then. So, it's definitely recommended 2 hours before Shkia, that's the ideal time that you wash. You've got plenty of time, you don't have to rush. A rush Suda is not a Suda of Simcha. You rush, you don't have to rush, you've got plenty of time. And you can have Roiv of the Suda and Roiv of Shevach Ha'Yudah before the end of the day.
What do you think?